time for the Outspoken Cyclist, your weekly conversation about bicycles, cycling, and related topics. The Outspoken Cyclist is produced for broadcast and podcast, with a new show available every Saturday at 6 p.m. In Northeast Ohio, you can hear it on WJCU 88.7 FM. Catch our podcast after the close of the on-air show at OutspokenCyclist.com, iTunes, Stitcher, or PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Now here's your host, Diane Jenks.
Welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist. I'm your host, Diane Jenks, and this is our show for August 11th, brought to you on August 13th. We're just back from our mini vacation, and so much has been going on, I'm hoping I don't skip something important. Tonight's show will be short. There's only one conversation with a great guest who produces a very interesting event. Can you say Rasputitsa? Neither could I. And maybe I still can't, but it's quite the thing. I'd like to address a couple of things before that conversation, though. I don't usually like to rant, and I'm hoping that I've calmed down enough to do this justice. I've never experienced quite this type of face-to-face interaction in the past, and if you have a comment or a similar story and are willing to share it, I'd really like to know about it. Before we left Cape Cod to come home last Sunday, we had a great dinner at a restaurant in Chatham called The Wild Goose. Service was excellent, food was superb, and we left room for dessert. And that's when the trouble started. We went to an ice cream store across the street from the restaurant, and within a few minutes, while the cute young college girls were dishing out scoops, the manager, or owner, we don't know which, came up to us and our friend, who owns the house where we were staying, and verbally assaulted him with questions about why he thinks it's okay to ride his bike on Route 28. So let's break it down. First, the store was full of customers. Second, how did this guy recognize our friend, even though he is very tall and probably somewhat recognizable? And third, why did he think he could fire questions about whether it was safe to ride and then just walk away? Me, being the loudmouth, bold person that I am, asked this manager owner just where he thought my friend should ride. His answer was predictable, on the bike path, of course. And just as I was asking the question as to what if the bike path didn't take our friend where he wanted to go, the guy walks away, won't answer any more questions, said his piece, that was that. Only it really wasn't. All four of us, our friends, Brian and I, were flabbergasted, but we took our scoops and went outside to the patio behind the store, still marveling about how weird the whole situation was. Here's an aside. I had to leave the store, actually, before I ripped the guy's head off, though that wasn't the language I used. I can have a very short fuse. We're sitting, eating our ice cream, not bothering anybody, discussing the incredible non-professional manager in which this guy approached the entire situation when said manager owner comes out and, without saying a word, starts banging all the chairs at the other empty tables around us. We took the hint and we left. Later, and after several hours of trying to figure out what would have been a win-win in this situation, we did come up with a couple of ideas. One, of course, is this forum, the podcast. Second would be a letter to the corporate office asking if company policy was against cycling and especially cyclists on the road. And third, my friend's wife thought that she would go back to the store, stand in the middle of the room, and offer to pay for ice cream for anyone who wanted it at a different location. So let's cut to the chase. One of the things to come out of this is a sort of non-filtered rant from someone who just can't seem to wrap his mind around sharing the road. It gives us insight into the anger and fear that seeing a cyclist in front of him triggers. What is so unfortunate about this incident is the lost opportunity to have a meaningful dialogue, but obviously that's not what this man wanted. So again, if you have a story or a comment or an idea and wish to share it, please feel free to contact me at outspokencyclist@gmail.com or to comment on our Facebook page. So let's move on to a story that makes my little heart go pity-pat. LeBron James. He's a hometown guy, being from Akron and all. And journalist Jason Gay from the Wall Street Journal wrote a great article last Tuesday titled, What Bikes Mean to LeBron James. Now, I knew about LeBron riding to games when he was with the Miami Heat and throwing big bike events in Akron for kids. What I didn't know was that he has a lifetime love of the bike and yet isn't enamored by the equipment and need for anything fancy. So lastly, may I extend a thank you to my listener who corrected me about Chris Froome. Mr. Froome did indeed win the Vuelta, and that was just last year. Shame on me. So let's take a real short break, and then I'll introduce you to Anthony Mocha and Rasputitsa. You're listening to The Outspoken Cyclist.
You're listening to the station that is your home for college radio in Cleveland, 88.7 FM, WJCU, University Heights.
Back, and it's time for my conversation with Anthony Mocha. If you're looking for a pre-cyclocross event, you might want to saddle up to this one. On September 1st, the Rasputitsa Gravel Redemption Tour is happening. According to the website, this gravel race is a confirmation that there is no rest for the wicked. It's a soul-searching, self-sufficient yearn to chase your demons on one more adventure before the fall equinox digs summer's grave. But there's way more. And so off to Vermont we go. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist. Thanks for joining me on the show today. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me.
Okay. We got to begin with the name. Rasputitsa, right? Did I say it right?
I don't even know if I say it right. Say I think it takes a true Russian to say it right. And we're probably butchering it every time we say it, but we'll go with it. Rasputitsa, yeah.
Okay, explain the meaning of the word.
So, Rasputitsa, it's a Russian translation for quagmire season. We host our race in mud season. So, it's mud season is really what it means. And it's the perfect name for a race in April in Vermont because you have full mud season that time of year. That's kind of how it came about. The race itself had a lot of when we started the race. It was built on a lot of Cold War history in our area, so we built around that, and that's where the name came from. So
from the cold. Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, there's the Russian connection. Yeah, I get it. Okay,
so.
Oh, first of all, who came up with this ride? These rides? There are actually two. There's the spring ride in April, and there's one coming up September 1st we're going to talk about. Who's coming up with this nonsense here?
So Heidi and I used to work together, and she says I kept bugging her for to do races, and I think we kind of just kept battering around the ideas for a few years. And it started with a race called the Dirty 40.
Okay.
And I want to say it was 2012, I think, was our first race. And that was Labor Day weekend. So that race itself lasted 3 years. And the whole dynamic of that race was it was 60 miles, but 40 of that was on gravel roads in Vermont. So that's how her and I got our start with races was with the Dirty 40. Following up with Dirty 40, we didn't know if we were just going to stick with one, but talking to some friends and making some good friends, we decided to launch a spring race, and that's where we started Rasputitsa, was come up with a spring race. And that originated actually in the town that I live in, Newport, which is right on the Canadian border. And between the Canadian border side and the U.S. side, there was a lot of Cold War history there, and that's where we kind of built that name of Rasputitsa. So the first year we had it here, it was the beginning, mid-April still, and we've kept it mid-April. It was the thick of mud season, not knowing what we were going to have. It was a super cold winter, but the name Rasputitsa really, really stuck because of how great the roads were. And I mean, like, the perfect type of cakey, doughy mud that you want that makes people just hurt when they're riding their bikes. So, yeah,
because,
it was good.
As you say, and this comes right off your website, there is no rest for the wicked.
All right. So true. It is so true.
So the April ride, how long is that ride? How many miles?
We've had our courses between 39 and 45 miles. So it depends on the course.
Seems like a lot of cold riding. Do you limit your entries?
We've had really, really strong growth from year one to this year.
Which is how many years now?
We're going into next spring will be six. We just finished our fifth year.
Wow.
Okay. And we limit it to our handling of the growth. We don't want to overdo what we can handle. And I think that we've really touched on our capacity at the moment.
Which is how many?
We've capped it at 1,500 for next year.
Holy smokes, that's a lot of people to take care of.
It is a lot of people to take care of. But a lot of that, too, has to do with not just, you know, what the riders are on the course, but the parking,
right,
lodging, bathrooms.
Yeah, right.
Porta potties, believe it or not. Like, that's always a big comfort. The food, making sure the catering is right on par with the number of people. And we have Emily McClure, who owns Craftsbury General Store, who's done our food for the past several years. She's amazing and can keep up with it. So, yeah, I mean, it's in Burke Mountain where we host the race now. We've made really good connections to help us grow to that capacity. So there's a lot that is Heidi and I, but we've been able to find the people to connect with to make it work.
Let me remind our listeners, we're speaking with Anthony Mocha.
Mocha. You know, that's what a lot of people do say. They say mocha, but it's not quite mocha. It's mocha.
Okay.
I've had everything.
That's okay. We're speaking with Anthony Mocha about Rasputitsa. And if you don't know it, we'll spell it at the end of our conversation. You can go look it up. It's like brutal killer. And I know so many people who will love to do this ride because gravel racing is the new whatever. It's the new, like, thing. So are there any prerequisites for riders? Are you asking them to do anything? Or is there a lottery? How do people, if you're going to limit it to 1,500, it's like the first 1,500? Or is there something you have to do?
Yeah, it's first come, first serve.
Okay.
You know, we open it up to almost right away after we finish the year, a week later, we're opening up for the next season. And we don't want to limit who comes. I mean, we're not saying there's any prerequisite.
Okay.
We put the warning out there. It's not an easy ride.
Right.
Hills in Vermont are going to be, they're going to take a lot out of you. So
and then add mud to it.
And you add mud to it. So,
right.
You know, it's not one of those days that you just say, oh, today's a good day to start riding my bike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know,
you
I didn't think
you
about
do not
that.
Want to do that.
I didn't think about that. So East Coast people and Midwest people, I have to train sometime to do a 45-mile ride in the cold and mud on gravel. You know, you have to think about that. You chip time your riders. So does that mean there are prizes, or what are you doing with the timing? How are you just telling people, you know what, try to beat the times?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
We do have prizes. We do have some categories. So we do have podiums for those categories.
Oh, cool.
But, you know, this is a race. We market it as a race. And a big piece of that to us is having accurate timing from the start to the stop. And we've hired a timing company right here in Vermont, 802 Timing. They're fantastic, and they do a lot of the family. It's husband and wife, and their son helps out, too. They do a lot of the high school track meets, the high school Nordic ski races, the high school cross-country running races.
Yeah,
they
sure.
do some triathlons in the area. It is just – it helps. It's flawless. We've had very few complications. It's really helpful. But, I mean, it's part of the race to us. If you're racing, you want to know what my time is and where I place amongst other people. So that's why the tip timing to us is just, it helps with that ease of not knowing. Like, if you cross the line, it's out. The results are immediate. So
do the chips ever get, like, screwed up because of the mud?
You would think so. You'd think that would be an issue, but yeah. No, it's actually an adhesive, like almost a sticker on the back of the bibs.
Oh, okay. So I got it.
Most of the front of the bib, the number itself, is taking on the mud. The back is virtually clean, but it's the front of the bib that's taking it off. So the bib is pretty well protected.
So you have your spring event, your April event. What is the redemption tour you're having September 1st, and how many people can come to that, and is it filled?
It's not filled, no. And so kind of stepping back with, we started Dirty 40. That was our first event, and that lasted 3 years. It kind of leads right, it's almost at the end of gravel season, cross season. Cyclocross starts almost immediately after Labor Day weekend, and it's got to be very competitive as far as other races are concerned, like going with gravel and people traveling, and because of the timing with cross, it was hard for us to make that race happen. We stopped after 3 years, and then we did a race called, it wasn't a race. We just put it out there and said, look, whoever wants to go ride, we're going to do a ride. We called it Rogue Ride, and we did it for 2 years. It was free. It was fully supported by us. So we had vehicles on the course. It was kind of a no-drop pace.
Nice.
And we did that for 2 years. And then we had so much energy after this year's Rath Petitza that Heidi and I really wanted to kind of do something. And we felt like this year's course was really tough. And some people had a hard time and were like, let's do one this fall. Let's bring something back. We don't want to bring back the Dirty 40. Not the Rogue Ride, but we'll do something. And Heidi, so, you know, it's kind of a redemption for some, and it just stuck. It was like, oh, light bulb goes off, redemption, there it is. And Heidi kind of put the nail in the coffin right with that name. And I think for a lot of people, it's pushing the limits of their abilities. And so this year we're offering, it's a 100-mile race. It's, we say 50, it's like 55 in all. So there's two lengths. The big piece of this is that we're not marking the course, even though it's going to be a timed race, chip timing as well, same group that's coming up. It's, you've got to download the course to your GPS or have a cue card on hand. It's more one of those adventure races where you're going to find your way around the course. And that's the way it's going to be. We'll have 4 sag stops so that people can refill on the water. But it's really pushing that. I mean, 100 miles on Vermont gravel, you're talking almost 10,000 feet of climbing. So it's 1,000 feet every 10 miles.
You guys are nuts. I love it.
And, you know, we had kind of like, okay, who's going to sign up? Is it going to be more 55-mile or 100-mile? And it's like 3-1. More people are signing up for the 100-miler.
Yeah, they are.
Which,
sure.
It's great. I think that's perfect. We haven't reached our capacity. We thought maybe it'd be great to get, you know, 300 to 500 people, and, you know, we're sitting over 200 right now, which is fine. It's not the end of the world to us, because we like, sometimes those small races are a little bit more relaxing for us than the bigger ones. So
what's the redemption at the end of the 50 and or 100 miles? Food, I would take.
There'll be a good party, that's for sure.
Nice.
Good music, good food. And that's really one of the things that Heidi really loves to talk about. And one of our big key points is that we don't try and bring the same race year after year. We're always trying to evolve what we do. And that if we have the same riders coming back, it's not going to be the same as it was the year before. And to that, our first year that we started Rath Petitza, it was up here in Newport, and we moved to Burke. And Burke was fantastic year one. And we had 4 feet of snow on race day. You know, and it was, the roads were muddy, and some of the off-road sections you had to run because it was It was just that much snow. You couldn't ride it. And then you talk about year three, it was almost 70 degrees on race day, zero snow, dry as a bone. It was the absolute opposite of what Rasputitsa means. It wasn't really mud season at all. We've changed the course in different directions. We've offered a brand new course. So it's been new every single year. Year five was a big milestone for us. We had a theme for year five, which was David Bowie. We're both really big David Bowie lovers. And we hired a tribute band to come in the night before and had it through a huge party. It was great. I mean, for us, that's the fun of it. The thrill of it is seeing everybody line up, hosting this huge party, and seeing smiles on people's faces as they're suffering. Because they do. They suffer, but they're having fun. And that's what we want.
Well, I got to tell you, it is absolutely one of the most interesting races I've reported on. My husband took a look at this and is going, oh, this is awesome. He would love to do a gravel race here in Northeast Ohio, but we do not have the terrain that you do. You have this terrain. You call it the 3 C's, cycling, community, and charity. Give us just a real quick rundown on what the charity portion is.
So our charity portion, we've always wanted to be able to give back. We gave it, there was a local cancer group here that was helping locals with cancer, and we partnered with them for a few years. And trying to make all our proceeds going to that. And then we partnered with Little Bellas. So the past few years, we've actually partnered with Little Bellas and Jam Fund as well. They're out of Massachusetts, and helped with bringing more awareness to both of those organizations and making contributions to both of those organizations to help grow the sport of cycling with the younger group. And Little Bellas is such an amazing group. Sabra and Leah, both two wonderful human beings, absolutely wonderful human beings. And I can't say enough good things about them. And then you have the Jam Fund with Jeremy Powers, pro cyclocross racer, and he's helping with that. More of that teenage group,
right?
Break into the world of cyclocross racing, and there's a need for that to mentor those kids, and both those groups are helping exactly that. So we love the fact that we're able to give back and bring awareness and grow our sport that we love.
Just as a preview for 2019, Rasputitsa is already up, and I assume you're taking registrations. Friday, April 26th, you're going to have Cliff Bar presenting Prince. And so it's a six-piece cover band, right? Love band? Or
yeah.
Love Sexy, it says. L-O-V-E-S-E-X-Y.
Prince is a fantastic Prince tribute band.
Awesome.
I'm excited for it. So if you see the new logo is based off of the Prince design, designed by ESK Productions. We're right in Vermont, Bennington, Vermont. So it should be exciting. And yes, registration is open. It's currently open. We're about 600 riders
registered
right now.
Wow.
Already.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's filling up.
So I have a question about you and Heidi.
Yes.
Is this now full time for you too?
No.
What do you do?
This is not full time for us. This is still just our fun part time gig.
What do you do?
I work at a local lumber yard, and Heidi works in the cycling industry. And we both met working at a cycling manufacturer. So, and that's how we became really good friends.
The
and,
one I can think of in Vermont is Darn Tough.
Louis Garneau, actually. Louis Garneau.
I think of him as being in Canada and not in Vermont, but that makes perfect sense. Louis Garneau. Awesome. Well, all right, Anthony, you can give it to the listeners. spell it out, because nobody's going to be able to look at it. Well, maybe if they can figure it out, the website.
I'm sure if you click on Surrey nowadays, it might, I haven't tried it, but it might pick it up. So Rasputitsa, Rasputitsa.
And it's rasputitsagravel.com. And you'll see everything there. It's so interesting. I don't know. Maybe we should make a trip up in April and bring our dogs and watch.
I think that is a fantastic idea. I think you should.
I don't know if my husband's up for it, but maybe he'll do it. He builds bikes, and he's building, he'll have a gravel bike. Yeah, that's what he does.
I think you've given me every reason why I should expect to see you both on race day. So,
I'm not racing, but I will watch. You know what? It'd be fun to come up there and just podcast and talk to some of these insane people. That is so cool.
You are completely welcome. And like I said, I haven't heard an excuse of why not. You've only put reasons on the table as to why you're going to be there.
Yeah, so, I haven't got an excuse as to why not.
We have a lot of fun with even the volunteers there.
Oh, they're
always a good group of people.
Always so, good. Volunteers have more fun than the riders most of the time.
I think they do.
They do.
So,
thank you so much for talking with me. It's rasputitsagravel.com, and you can see everything that's going on with this insanely, it looks like fun, but very difficult gravel race. If you're into it, I think you should maybe consider it. Thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right.
So
you have a good day.
You too.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Anthony Mocha joined me from his home in Vermont. For more information on all the Rasputitsa Gravel events, you can log on to rasputitsagravel.com. I know it's a short show this week, but I hope you enjoyed it anyway. I will be back next week with a brand new episode of The Outspoken Cyclist. Please remember that if you like the show, say so on your favorite podcast app. And leave us a message if you have any comments on our Facebook page or at Twitter. In the meantime, I hope you have a great week, stay safe, and remember, if you have a chance, go for a ride. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on The Outspoken Cyclist with Diane Jenks. We hope you enjoyed this week's show and welcome your comments and thoughts on Twitter and Facebook. Visit OutspokenCyclist.com to hear this and all past shows. We'll be back next week with more great conversation and news from the world of cycling. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and never miss an episode. The Outspoken Cyclist is a copyrighted production of DBL Promotions with the assistance of WJCU-FM Cleveland, a service of John Carroll University. Thanks again for listening, ride safely, and we'll see you next week.